Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We close this month in faith, promise, missions. Just read that up there. We hate to talk about money. Well, then why are you? Well, because the Bible talks more about money than any other topic. Matter of fact, Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined and all that stuff. So once a year, Faith Promise Missions, we have to deal with the issue of money. And so we've come to the close because here's the idea. We want to use God's finances faithfully, but we also want to spread the gospel around the world so that we can build God's kingdom. Amen? Wouldn't you want to build God's kingdom? And you know what? Wouldn't it be great to have like 500 missionaries we support that have witnessed to folks and seen 1.5 million people come to Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, they don't do it for free. And so it takes work. It takes effort. And so did you know that tension displays itself in the form of stress? And not all stress is caused by negative stuff. Sometimes it's caused by positive things. For instance, Mike was recovering from a severe heart attack. And the doctor said that there would be no excitement of any kind in his life for the next couple of months. And so he repeated himself to his wife and said, no excitement whatsoever for the next couple of months. And so, but his wife had found out that he had a lottery ticket that had just won the lottery, which was $4 million. And so she had worried it. She didn't say anything to Mike. And after worrying about it for days, she called her pastor because they have all the answers. So she explained the situation. And she said, since you're good with grief and stress and handling situations like this, would you come and figure out a way that I can tell this to my husband? So about 5 minutes later, the pastor showed right up at the door, went into the den where Mike was watching TV. And they talked for a few minutes. And then the pastor leaned over and he said, Mike, I've got a problem and I'd like to have your advice. So Mike said, sure. What's your problem? The pastor took a deep breath and he said, well, it's kind of a theoretical situation maybe, but I just wanted to know regarding Christian stewardship, I just want to figure out what the normal person would do in this situation. Let's say, Mike, you won the lottery and it was $4 million. What would you do with that kind of money? And without hesitation, Mike said, wow, if I won $4 million, I'd give $2 million to the church. And immediately the pastor had a heart attack and fell over. So when it comes to money, let me give you an Old Testament principle and let me tell you some truth. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says this. Moses, they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring too much, basically. Enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave this commandment and said, it's to be proclaimed throughout all the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. So when they were building the tabernacle, Moses said, don't bring no more money. We've got enough. And in our culture today, you will never hear me say, stop bringing your money because we have enough. That will never happen because there are so many needs in our world. And the first need is salvation. And it costs a lot. And so out of the six foundational faith practices that were studied, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, stewardship, compassionate service, of those six, most churchgoers embrace worship. They said that was the most important. Matter of fact, a Barna survey revealed that 75% of all adults say that worship is the most important. But on down the list of only 18% of people said that service and giving is important. And so 4 out of 10 frequent church attending adults actually prepare their hearts to worship God. And of those four, three of them are women. We're losing our men. We're losing our men in our services, in our worship. And so most church attenders do not make worship part of their daily exercise. Matter of fact, most people just reserve worship for Sunday, right? Isn't that what you come here on Sunday for? Just to worship. And that's all it is. And so most people struggle to focus on God. And so if you can't just worship God every day of the week, that type of mindset spills over into other areas of our walk with the Lord. Not only worshiping, but in stewardship as well. And it's vitally important. Dr. Larry Burkett, president of the founder of Crown Financial Ministries, in his book, Your Potential Financial Power, Burkett wrote this. It has been said that the average American spends half of his waking hours thinking about money. And money has torn apart many relationships in our culture today. Matter of fact, 80% of all divorced couples between the ages of 20 and 30. Did you get that? 80% of divorced couples between the ages of 20 and 30. Those are young couples that just got married. They listed financial difficulties as the primary cause of their separation. Financial problems. But we know that it's not money. I mean, money's not bad within itself, right? I mean, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For it is the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil." And you know what? Which some believers have even strayed from the faith in their greediness. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why is it that people are so in debt up to their eyeballs? Because they love money and the stuff that it buys. And there's credit and there's loans and there's... Proverbs says that you're a debt to whoever you give yourself over to be. You're a slave to those people. We're a slave to our debts in our culture today. And so the Bible is full of verses on money from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And it begs the question, why? The short answer, because there is a connection between your spiritual lives and how we think about and handle money, especially where it comes to stewardship. So salvation is important, don't get me wrong. Being obedient to God's word is vitally important. And I understand that and I get it. But listen, it's how you deal with money. Jesus says this. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Right? Why? Because he doesn't want salvation. Because I have all the money in the world. I don't need it. And I'm not going to be obedient to God's word because I'll do as I please. Right? So you first have to deal with the issue of money. And so it's a day-to-day concept, one that people have the hardest time dealing with when it comes to accepting God's will on stewardship of our finances. So when it comes to faith, when it comes to love, when it comes to being saturated with the Word of God, when we have these things, it has a positive aspect in our lives, right? When you're filled with love, it really pours out and people see it. When you're filled with faith, when you're saturated with the Word of God, when you're being obedient to God's Word, it really shows in your life. But money, however, God seems to want less of that. He wants us to give that away. Isn't that funny? Human nature is kind of hypocritical when it comes to actually believing every area and aspect of God's word is vitally important. Do you believe all of God's word and all of the doctrine and everything is important? Do you believe all of it's important? She doesn't, man. She's mad. But here's the idea. We don't believe that because we display in different ways what we really like. Most people, when they go to a church, they look for the worship. Oh, the worship's the number one focus. So most people want to talk about church discipline. We got to have rules and regulation and everything should be as it should be. Some people just want to talk about love. Well, God is love, so let's just talk about love. Some people want to talk about this and talk about that, and it's end time events. Oh, we got to talk about prophecy because that's the most important. And so that's what we do, is we focus on what's important to us. But if we really looked at what the Bible said, it all should be important. Every bit of it. Not only the worship, but our finances, everything. Here's the idea. It all comes down to stewardship. Because stewardship covers it all. Ever heard the expression, Calvary covers it all? And it does. And so does stewardship. Because stewardship covers our time, stewardship of our time, stewardship of our talents, of our thoughts, of our speech, of our money, of our children, of our salvation, of our evangelism, our love, our faith, our body, our treasure, everything. Stewardship covers all of it. You name it. And we do it all for God's glory. And that's why we do it, right? Give God glory in everything we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Matt Trammell, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. So the first question you have to answer is this. Does money matter to you? Does it matter to you? Does it matter what you do with your money? That's the question you have to answer. Adrian Rogers said, all people are interested in money. Most all people, he said, to some degree. And you can tell a lot about a person's character by his reaction to money, whether it be in plenty or whether it be in poverty. It tells how much it matters. Turn to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19. Listen to what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. Excuse me. Matthew 19 and verse 22. Starting in verse 22, Jesus says this. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, let's go back to verse 60. It says, now behold, somebody come to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know, if you ask anybody in this world and you said, hey, do you want to die and burn in hell? Do you know nobody's going to say, yeah? I mean, that's who wants to do that? But in order to get to heaven, that's a different story. Because there's certain things. And Jesus says, the man says, hey, good teacher, what should I do to get to eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Because no one is good but one, that is God. But if anyone want to enter into life, you got to keep the commandments. I know this kind of goes against what we teach, grace and all that stuff, but it is true. If you keep all 10 commandments, guess what? You can get into heaven perfectly. You know what the problem is? You can't do it. Absolutely. So here's the issue, and this is what Jesus does. It's like counseling. He's not trying to fix somebody's problem, because you can't fix anybody else's problem. Only they can do it. What we do as pastors is we give you the tools to fix it. And so it's up to you whether you want to fix it or not. So we just give you the tools. And so it's amazing that people would rather spend tons of money with psychologists and psychiatrists and all this stuff. And me and Trammell, we do free counseling. It's amazing. People would rather pay for it to get the good free stuff that's actually... Anyway, all right, moving on. So here's the idea. There's nobody good but one, and that's God. So he said, which ones? And Jesus said, okay, now get this because it's important. You shall not murder. There's one. You shall not commit adultery. It's two. You shall not steal. Three. You shall not bear false witness. There's four. Honor your father and mother. That's five. And you shall love your neighbor as your six. That's a different one. That's a different one. But the young man said, all of these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And this is where we come to verse 22. And when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Isn't that amazing? It's very sad. And so the question is, did money really matter to this guy? Sure did, didn't it? So Jesus said, if you want to get into heaven, give up all your money. I don't want to do that. It was amazing. And so in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 18, 20, something like that, you'll find the Ten Commandments. All right? There's the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses. The first four deal with God. The next six deal with man. And specifically, Jesus leaves out one commandment. Did you see that in Matthew 19? Do you know which one he left out? Anybody know the Ten Commandments? Can anybody stand and give me the Ten Commandments in order? No? You can, Lynn? Give them to me. First four deal with God. Next six are going to deal with man.
Thou shalt obey thy mother and father. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Here's the idea. That woman is saturated with the Word of God because she just quoted the Ten Commandments. One out of 10 people can do that. It's not very many can quote the Ten Commandments. That's just the beginners. So anyway, here's the idea. Jesus left out one. Which one did he leave out? He gave the love your neighbor as yourself. Is that one of the commandments? It is in the New Testament because Jesus says, somebody asked him what the greatest commandment was, and what does he say? Love the Lord your God with everything that's within you. Oh, yeah, love it with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. I just kind of sum it up in my Zedeker paraphrase translation and say, love God with everything that's within you. And he says the second is like the first. And that's what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And the whole law, all 10 of them, are summed up in those two. Loving God and loving others. So the Ten Commandments are just loving people. That's all it is. But that's not the 10th commandment. And he leaves that one out. Why does he leave that one out? Because it's vitally important. Because Jesus, like a counselor, like a pastor, he's trying to show that guy his heart. He's trying to show him the problem without saying, hey, you need to work on your heart because you're idolatrous. Does that make sense? Why was this guy idolatrous? We had a lot of money. Why are you saying he was idolatrous? Do you know why? Because he leaves out the 10th commandment, which is covetousness. What is covetousness? Okay, what else does Paul say covetousness is? Idolatry. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, listen to this. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. This guy wanted money more than he wanted to get into heaven. This guy wanted money more than he wanted a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's idolatrous. Money mattered to this guy so much. Jesus says, go sell everything that you own and you'll have eternal life. And the man walked away sorrowful. He loved money. That was his idol. And so here's a question. Now God would probably never tell you to do that because he wants you to use his finances for, you know, his honor and glory. But let me just ask you this question. If God told you that you're to give up what you make, the house you have, and the lifestyle you live, so that you could live in a smaller house, have less money, and be able to do less with it, would you be able to do it? It's rhetorical. Don't answer that, but would you be able to do it? And you know what's funny? Me and Matt were talking about this week, you know, and I was telling him I was going bald when I was in my 20s, you know, had the big, you know, spot in the back. And he was like, "Well, if I didn't have hair, it wouldn't bother me none." Really? That's what everybody says who has hair. I mean, right? You know? I'm like, whatever, man. You got hair. Yeah, if I was going bald, it wouldn't bother me either. Yeah, sure. Well, let's see when you go bald. See if it bothers you anymore. You know? I mean, we can say these things. Well, if I didn't have money, it wouldn't be a big deal. But would it? Would it really? I mean, if you really had to give up your lifestyle, you look at America, man. I tell you what, we're just a bunch of spoiled, pampered little brats. Amen? Amen? We are slaves to our stuff. I mean, how many of you want a flip phone? Oh, a flip phone? Oh, my gosh. And the older folks are like, "I got a flip phone. What's wrong with that?" I'm telling you. Does money really matter that much? Because it shows you where our heart is. Right? It's a heart issue. And that's what Jesus was trying to show this guy. You've got a heart problem because you love money. You're idolatrous to money. We are so in debt up to our eyeballs because we love money and the stuff money can buy. But we need to be investing in kingdom business. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "Nobody can serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You're going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon," which is just the Aramaic word for riches, for wealth, for money. Look with me at Luke chapter 12. Turn there. Luke chapter 12. Man, this is good stuff. All God's word's good, just some a little better than others. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 41, Jesus is talking about discipline. But listen to this, because it's vitally important to what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus says this, "Then Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?' And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward?'" We're talking about stewardship, right? Stewardship. Stewardship is just taking care of somebody else's stuff. And guess what? While we're on this earth, we're taking care of God's stuff. God owns it all, right? He owns our house. He owns our body. Isn't that what Paul said? You're not your own because you're bought with a price. I don't even own my body. It all belongs to God. So as a steward of God's stuff, I got to take care of his stuff, right? Because we're just stewards. So Jesus says here in verse 42, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master's delaying in coming,' and he begins to beat the male and female servants and just eat and drink and be drunk and live it up, man, I got it made. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, he shall be beaten with many stripes. Look at verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, he shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given from him, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." And as I said, it's talking about discipline in this passage for sure. But here's the idea. In verse 48, he says, "But he who did not know," even though he didn't know, he was still going to get beaten with stripes, right? Can I tell you something? An important principle? Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt you. And so everything in the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, you are accountable for to God, whether you know it or not. God's recorded his word. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. We have his perfect preserved word. His word has been perfectly preserved for us. And everything in it is for us to know, to apply to our lives. And we're going to give an account for everything in it, whether you read it or not. It's up to you. Verse 48, listen to what he says. There's also He says also, for everyone to whom much is given, much is required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Warren Wiersbe said, our responsibility is to be faithful when he comes. We may not appear successful in our own eyes. We're not going to be successful in the world's eyes. But it shouldn't be important. The thing that God wants is faithfulness. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says. Moreover, it is required in stewards. What is a requirement? Let's say what? Have to. That's a good way to put it. Have to. It is, you have to be found faithful. Do you know God says that in stewardship, we have to be found faithful. It's not a suggestion. It's a requirement. And a requirement is a have to. It's really a heart issue. God is a jealous God. He wants sole place in our hearts. He wants to be there. Not money, not your children, not life, not anything. God wants sole possession of your heart. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why Oprah Winfrey left the Baptist church. Do you know she actually attended a Baptist church? Probably don't know this. You can Google it. Somebody else later on. Don't do it now. But she went to a Baptist church growing up, and I forget when she was in her late 20s or something. The pastor said, you know, God is a jealous God. And she said, well, why would God be jealous? Why would God, Almighty God, be jealous of me? And she said, I don't want to serve a jealous God. So she left. She left the church. Never looked back. Matter of fact, she started her own church. Church of Oprah has 1.3 billion people. Like to have her offerings. Boy, we could do some stuff for the kingdom of God with that, couldn't you? Anyway. So here's the idea. Covetousness is idolatry. And it's a heart issue. And what you're doing is you're replacing God with something else in your heart. And nothing will be good enough. God wants sole possession of our hearts. You can't serve two masters. Now, Elmer Towns is a professor at Liberty University. He used to tell this at Thomas Road Baptist. It was a story of who owns the French fries. And it was funny because it was a story of a man who had bought his little boy some French fries. And the father do what all fathers do. And when he bought them, he reached down just to grab one of those French fries, right? And guess what the child did? Slapped his father's hand and said, no, those are mine. Well, the father thought, well, how selfish is that? I bought those French fries. Those French fries belong to me. Matter of fact, and you probably told your son this or your daughter, you know, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I own you. So, you know, the father's saying, well, I own this child. I bought these fries. I own these fries. They're mine. And so my son is selfish. And so he could just, you know, never buy him French fries again. Or he could just go the opposite and buy, you know, as many fries as he could and just pour them all over him and say, there. But it's the idea, it was just one fry. That's all he wanted. Now look at it this way. God gives us everything that we have. Everything. He gives us everything that we have. And when it comes to money, what does God ask back? Just a small portion. That's mine, God. Isn't that what we do? That's my money. I'll do with it what I want. Wow, what a slap in the face. God owns everything, and he just wants a small faithfulness. You see, you don't have to give tons every week. Just be faithful with giving something. Is that literally asking too much? Let me put this into perspective, and we'll bring this to a close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible says that God is a God of order. We do things in an orderly fashion. And so that's why we have the praise and worship, and we do the offering, and then we have the message you hear from the Word of God, and Sunday school is first, and then we go through time frame. And so God is a God of order. We do things in an orderly fashion. And so this is our giving is the same way. Our giving should be done in an orderly fashion. Now, we've talked about how the Bible talks about just giving. It's not about a specific number. We've talked about this. We can't stress it enough. It's not about a number. Many people preach tithe, 10%, 10%, 10%. But here's the problem. If all you're preaching about is 10%, how are you going to go above and beyond that? Because that's all you're giving is a number. So we didn't even say a number. Matter of fact, the other 11 months of the year, we don't even talk about money. Matter of fact, if you're a visitor this morning, I hope you didn't give into our offering plate unless you wanted to. Because this is for an act of obedience and an act of worship for God's people. Matter of fact, the members of this church. But it comes to a point to where you have to know the structure. And if God is a God of order, then his giving is done in an orderly fashion. Now, we take it based off the Old Testament principle that they gave to the temple first to help support the priests, to help support the temple, the upkeep, all of those things. And we take that same principle and we say, if you don't give, start giving. And that first offering should go to the church. I mean, you want the lights on, and I mean, I don't know about these. These are awful bright. Maybe we could turn those off and not pay for them. But you want heat on, right? Sunday school, it was cold in one of our classrooms, and then by the time they left, it was over hot. So they were roasted. But here's the idea. We need to upkeep on this stuff. The salaries, programs, different things that we do. And that comes out of what we call, for lack of a better word, the tithes or the general. And so from that point, it's not just about 10%. Some people give 17%. Some people give 18%. Is that a tithe? No, because a tithe is 1/10. So above that is, I mean, you can give whatever you want. It should be a generous, God loves a generous giver. So above the general, the tithe, comes missions. And that's what we're talking about. This is Missions Emphasis Month. We're talking about missions giving. So please don't take away from, some people give that tithe, and then they go, out of my 10%, I'll give this to missions, I'll give this to the kids, I'll give that. Don't take away from that general offering. Don't take away from that tithe. That should be just your first giving. And then above and beyond that. Matter of fact, if you're a member of the church, this is what we voted on in our Constitution. We redid our Constitution, and it states this structure right in it. If you need a copy of it, it's right out there on the wall in between the restrooms. Your tithe or general offering comes first, then your missions, and then anything above and beyond that. And so we're here with Missions Emphasis. Hopefully, as a member, you got one of these cards, and you have been thinking and praying all month how much God would, in the prosperous of what he has given you, to give a little more. We want to support missionaries. Folks, hundreds of people email and call and send us packets. I'm going to the mission field. God's called us here. Can we bring on hundreds of new people? No. But can we bring on one or two? Three or four? I don't know. But what we do is when you fill out a card and you say, I will give this much each week. Now, if you get paid once a month, you know, and your Social Security check comes in once a month, then give once a month. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But just tell us what that's going to amount to each week. Because what we do is we add these up, and then that tells us who we can support. Hundreds of missionaries come through every month and email us and call us, and we got to turn them away because we don't have enough to support them all. But we should be able to continue to do more. So when it comes to missions, when it comes to that, let me just give you some basic math. Let's just say that, I don't know, maybe you'd stop going to Starbucks to get that crappy cup of $5 coffee. I don't know. So a $5 cup of coffee once a week. I mean, you don't have to do it every day, just one day. Maybe on Sunday. 4 weeks, that's what? $20. Times 12 months, that's what? Come on, mathematicians. $240. That's not a lot, is it? That's $5 a week. One cup of coffee. You know, it's not a big deal. Now check this out. If 150 people gave up one cup of coffee each week that was $5, and they gave to missions, above and beyond their tithes and general offerings, not taking away from that, that'd be $36,000. In our missions budget, forgive me, I don't know the exact amount, it's like $47,000 or $48,000 is what we give to missions per year. So let's just say you cut out two cups of coffee. That's $72,000 a year. That's $10 a week for 150 people. Now, I hate this, and I hate to talk about money, because now I feel like K-Love. We just need 40 people to give $40 a month, and we're just waiting for you to call in and get, I hate it. But we're just talking about stewardship. I'm giving you what the Bible says. You do what you want, honestly. And that's what people do. The people that want to give, give. The people that don't want to give, don't give. And so we're not going to pressure anybody. I'm just giving you what the Bible says, because we're to be good stewards of God's stuff, period. And I'm showing you the structure. So if we were to do that, $72,000, man, that's, you know how many new missionaries we can take on? How many new people we could do? Matter of fact, do you remember last year with Keith Malugin? Do you know what he was doing? You don't remember him? Human trafficking. He's in the Dominican Republic rescuing girls from human trafficking. And they rescued one little girl so far. It takes time, man. It takes time. But it cost them $3,000 for one soul to be saved from hell. Months, they go into the brothels and they do all this stuff and they build this relationship. $3,000. How much is a soul worth? Is it worth a Starbucks cup of coffee? Puts a little different perspective, doesn't it? Man, one day time is going to be done. And the only thing that'll be left is what you did for the kingdom. What's going to come? One day our house is going to burn, all our stuff's going to burn. God's going to redo this earth with fire. And so everything you're building up for is going to be done away with. What are you going to have left? What's going to stand the test of time? It's not about how much you give one time. It's not, we don't want you to save up as much as you can. And, well, here's, you know, $1,500. Here you go. Woohoo, that's all I got. God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. That's all he wants is faithfulness. Just be faithful. You know, if you give $1 a week, that's $4 a month. How much is that per year? No, you sleep on me now already? 4 times 12, that's what? 48? Thank you. That's $48 a year. That's not much, is it? Now you take $48 a year times 150 people, how much is that? No? It's like 4,600 and something, I forget. But you know what? That 4,600 something? That's more than our teen budget. Does that put it in perspective? Folks, we spend so much money getting so much stuff. And God says, I just want you to be faithful. If you were to faithfully give, we could support more missionaries, support the ministry, support kingdom business. And that's what we're here to do. Does money mean that much to you? Or does the kingdom? Where's your heart? Is it there or is it here? Because what you do with what you have shows where your heart is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for just the time to come and gather around your word. Lord, I'm thankful that missions emphasis is done. Now, let's tally up the cards and so that we can tell these missionaries whether or not we can take on them in support, whether we can add new ones and bring new folks in and ask others to come present your ministry. We have more that we can give. Lord, we just don't talk about it 11 months out of the year. This is the obedience of your people. The worship, their act of worship. It's their stewardship of your stuff. And so, Lord, we just need to be found faithful. So as we give this invitation, Lord, we just pray you'd have your way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.